Good morning. Bert, thank you very much for taking last Sunday. That was wonderful, and it was great to hear from you, and I hope it's not the last time, but as we do know, Bert and Cindy are going to be heading to Texas come April, so it was good to hear him teach again as one of the elders of this particular church. So we're in a new series, Not a Fan, as you can see. Are you a fan of Jesus Christ, or are you a follower, fully committed follower of Jesus Christ? It's the question that we're going to ask and hopefully encourage you to join the journey on from fan to follower. You ever watch those TV commercials? Anybody can buy a car here at this place. Anybody can. Anyone can buy a vehicle, a car here. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything rolls and you see the fine print and it says, if your credit is good enough, yeah. Or else anybody can have one of our cell phone plans. Anybody can purchase a plan, anyone. That is, if you happen to have the same carrier, you know, that the plan is under, things of that, or the same, a certain kind of phone. Why do they say anyone? If they don't really mean it, why are they using it? You ever tried to get a special deal on one of those cell phone plans? And I'm someone. You said anyone. Me. I'm part of anyone. Nope, I'm sorry. You can't have it. Seems like when people say anyone is welcome, anyone can cash in on this deal, do they really mean anyone? Two Sundays ago, we looked at a Bible verse. Jesus Christ himself, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, using similar words. He says, if, what was the word? Anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, when? Daily, and follow me. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. So let's break that down. I want to break that down. We're not going to break it down too far. We're just actually going to look at that one word, anyone. When making the invitation to potential followers, Jesus truly and truthfully invites anyone. The problem is, do we really hear that as truth? Do we really believe it? We'll put it that way. We're going to break it down. We're going to look at four different aspects of that anyone. The first one is anyone truly is welcome. If Jesus said it, that means that anyone truly is welcome. But we, again, have a hard time hearing it. Even if Jesus is saying anyone, we kind of have this innate behavior built into us by our society to say, yeah, right, where's the hidden catch? You know, where's the fine print? Where's the hidden fees? But this is Jesus who's saying it. And so there is no catch. There is no small print. There's no hidden fee. The verse lays it out. It's open to anyone. And when Jesus said anyone, all the crowds needed to do was take a look at his group of followers, right? The disciples, to believe it. He means anyone. Look at this group. It's not the typical group that you see following after a rabbi. And we got to understand, to his society, Jesus was what? A rabbi, wasn't he? Nobody doubted that. The Pharisees didn't doubt it. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher of the Jewish faith. He was a teacher of the Word, God's Word. Then, of course, the Old Testament. Rabbis had extensive knowledge of the Torah. What's the Torah? The books of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, right? They had extensive knowledge of the writings of the prophets. And not only did they have an extensive knowledge of the Torah, an extensive knowledge of the prophets, but they also had a special group of Talmid, of followers, of students, of disciples that would follow them. Now, they were exclusively what gender? Yes. They were definitely men. And in New Testament times, most men usually ended up learning some sort of trade. And generally, it was a trade that was passed down in the family for generations, right? They were tradesmen, stonemasons, fishermen. But those privileged to become the Talmid of a particular rabbi had to go through quite an exclusive application process that actually would parallel a lot of college applications today, especially colleges that are like Harvard or Stanford or MIT, if you wanted to get with the best of the rabbis, with Gamaliel, of which Paul sat under, and some of the other ones. Talmids already had to have an impressive knowledge of Scripture themselves. In other words, a rabbi would often quiz a prospective Talmid by asking them to recite one of the books of Moses, the entire book they had to recite. Or they would ask him a very specific question, like, tell the number of times the name of the Lord was used in Leviticus chapter 11. And they would have had been able to come up with that. In case you're wondering, it's 3. That was an intense, painstaking process that the Talmids had to go through. But rabbis had to be thorough because the excellence of the student reflected upon the teacher, right? Reflected upon the excellence of the teacher, reflected on him. If a rabbi just let anybody in, it was clear that he wasn't really one of the sought-after ones, one of the top ones. Now, on the other hand, if a rabbi's group of Talmid were especially brilliant, that would reflect on the rabbi himself. It would escalate his status. He'd be respected. He'd be more admired. But then there came this one rabbi, Jesus. And Jesus changes the entire system. He doesn't go by the rules, the rabbi rules, as far as gaining Talmid. He changed the system drastically. And you know what thing really indicates that he changed the system drastically? One of the particular disciples that he allowed to become a Talmid, whose name was Matthew. What was Matthew's job? He was a tax collector. No rabbi of worth would ever allow a tax collector, fisherman, maybe, but a tax collector, no. That's the wrong kind of reflection. I want you to get used to Kyle again by watching this little clip.
When Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me," he was making it clear that his invitation to follow is not just for the religious elite or for the morally upright, for those who have their lives together. His invitation is for all of us who are hiding some stains. Jesus said, "Anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Anyone. Anyone is a pretty inclusive word. Anyone can follow Jesus. Anyone who's ever thought to themselves, "I've gone too far, my stain is too big." Anyone who's ever laid awake at night and said, "I can't believe what I've done." Anyone who's ever looked in the mirror and said to themselves, "I can't believe what I've become." Anyone can follow.
All God's people said, amen. So when the word gets out that this new unconventional rabbi is picking out followers, literally kind of at random, just allowing anybody to come and follow, people start to wonder what's up, and they come to listen. And as they come to listen, they find out he's an incredible teacher. And they keep saying he teaches with what?
Authority.
With authority, with incredible authority, like none of the other teachers. They're amazed. But when they look at his disciples, They had to be kind of confused. They had to kind of shake their head, thinking, these are his students? Oy vey. Look, he's got two fishermen, maybe four. I think they're all related. And look at these guys are nobodies. He's got a few political hotheads, some zealots in there. I don't understand. And then there's that one, the local tax collector. So when Jesus makes his invitation and people hear that anyone can come and learn from this incredible rabbi, all they have to do is look at the followers and include themselves, don't they? And that's what they do. They include themselves. And he had quite the following, didn't he? We hear about the 121 that were continually following him. Then we hear about hundreds. We hear about thousands. We hear about tens of thousands that are following this incredible rabbi. People who'd given up the dream of ever being Talmid, learning from a rabbi long ago, given it up, are now wondering, you think he'd welcome me? I mean, I can't be any worse than these guys. Even women, right? He had an incredible following of women. Now, that was really throwing out the rules. And slowly but surely, people started to come. They wanted to follow this rabbi, Jesus. From Rabbi Jesus' point of view, there were almost too many. And he did things then in his ministry that kind of thinned out the ranks, didn't he? Taking all the fans off the top and leaving the followers. Now, why did they all follow? Because they realized when Jesus said anyone, he meant anyone. He meant it. Truly, deeply, he meant it. When Jesus said that anyone was welcome, the crowd understood that it meant literally everyone was welcome. And that's the second point we want to look at. For Jesus, anyone meant literally everyone. Everyone. But here's the struggle that we have. Although we never really openly say it, we don't always buy into the idea that church should be for everyone, especially our church. It shouldn't just be for anyone to kind of walk in, because that would make us uncomfortable. We like the familiarity of the people whom we have. We kind of like church the way it is, don't we? We usually refer to it as the status quo. We like things to kind of stay the same, to stay comfortable. And because it becomes one of our comfort zones. And the status quo soon becomes kind of a standard, and a standard soon becomes a qualification. And I think Jesus knew that that's exactly how we would do church as human beings. And that's why Luke chapter 9, verse 23, is constantly reminding us that there should not be any qualifications, that when Jesus says anyone, he means anyone. Don't put qualifications on it. What church qualifications am I talking about? Well, let's be honest, beloved. Too many churches have all kinds of different rules and regulations added on to their biblical code of behavior. You know, the things that the Bible really talks about, how we should behave. Well, they add on all sorts of unbiblical codes, like social taboos, you know, about dancing and drinking and dating outside the denomination, styles of music, income levels, social political agendas. And the list kind of stacks up really quick, doesn't it? Sure, churches keep saying, anybody is welcome. But is it the way Jesus uses the term anybody or anyone? But when we look at how the members dress, what political leanings they prefer, what social status is clearly accepted, it becomes clear there are some qualifications. In other words, anyone does not mean everyone in many of our churches. So Jesus gets rid of the long list of prerequisites. He did away with the standard application process. And I think the church should do away with our rules and regulations. Because Jesus eliminated all of our qualifications. He eliminates all of our qualifications. But you know what that also eliminates for us? Because we like to hide behind our qualifications. We use them as excuses, don't we? Well, Jesus gets rid of our excuses. No qualifications means no excuses. That we don't have an excuse now not to follow Jesus. Because when Jesus invites anyone to follow, he doesn't just break down the barriers that keep so many people from learning about God. He also breaks down the excuses that we have, that we put out there to keep ourselves from growing deeper in our relationship with God. Now the tradesman has no excuse not to follow the rabbi, right? The dropout student can't complain about his past anymore. And like we said, even the mothers can't take the chance. They can take the chance. They can't say, you know, I've got to stay at home with my children. Jesus makes it possible. And he breaks down all the excuses. So what's our excuse? Well, I think one excuse that most of us keep holding on to hold off in our relationship with Christ is telling ourselves we're too busy. We're too busy. But don't let me put words in your mouth. What's your excuse? Is it because we really have been focusing on our marriage lately? I've heard that one. The kids do need a lot of time and attention. They're at that stage. I've heard that one. Because times are tough, we need that other part-time job. I know that one all too well. Or is it because we've got a past that we're not really proud of? You know, the baggage from an addiction, the baggage from a divorce, the baggage from bankruptcy has been our excuse, and we use it for a long time. We like to hide behind that one. It's easy to hide behind those kinds of excuses, because who's going to criticize you? It's unchristian to argue with someone who's been through a tragedy or somebody who's emotionally scarred, right? We let them comfortably rest behind the excuses. Did Jesus let them comfortably rest? No. Jesus gets rid of all the excuses when he invites anyone. Anyone. Beloved, anyone is welcome to have a relationship with Jesus. You have some kind of a sexual past? Anyone. You're an ex-con? Anyone. You're a current inmate? Anyone. Recently divorced? Anyone. You're a legalist? Anyone. An alcoholic, a pothead, a heroin or crack addict? Anyone. A hypocrite? You better hope it's anyone, right? Anyone. Now, we need to be ready for what can happen when we embrace the invitation to anyone and everyone, right? Like Jesus did. Because they're going to show. They're going to come. If anyone truly can come to the church, then to church or to church, the verb, is going to be messy, right? It's going to be messy. And to me, that kind of goes hand in glove. Hey, look, I'm here. That makes church messy. Everybody can say that. Each one of us. I'm here. I'm a mess. Church is messy. It's meant to be messy. And Jesus is the one that can clean that mess up, who desires to clean the mess up. All of a sudden, the church gets filled with a lot of unchurch or unchurchy type of people. I mean, if we really accept anyone here at Avalon Community Church with our slogan, following Jesus, how? Together, if we truly mean that, anybody come here, follow Jesus together, then we'll be forced to deal with our unwritten codes. We'll be forced to deal with all of our unbiblical rules and regulations, our qualifications, and we'll be forced to deal with our excuses. Because that's what Jesus does in his invitation. We'll be forced to get out of our comfort zones. And what happens then? We grow, actually. It's amazing. We begin to rub shoulders with people from different backgrounds, different social circles, people who have different music collections, different recreational activities, you know, different wardrobes, people who whistle during church services. God bless Louis. people who confuse and or annoy us, people who are hard to tolerate, people who are even harder to love. But we learn, don't we? We learn from them. We learn of our own shortcomings. We learn we don't have to hide behind our excuses. We learn that we can grow closer to Jesus by losing the love of God. True followers are willing to break down walls. They are willing to trash unwritten codes. They are willing to welcome anybody, anyone, and everyone into God's family right alongside themselves and right alongside Jesus. Now, understand, beloved, I'm not saying we should tolerate or we should condone anything sinful, as Paul says in Romans. Megadnoito, may it never be. Heaven forbid. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to do anything that's unbiblical. When a person desires a relationship with Christ, desires to become a Christian, we need to make sure they understand what God's word allows and what it doesn't, right? They probably don't know. They're new to this. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And we build them into disciples, as God is building us into disciples. And they begin to trust in God. They begin to trust in the Holy Spirit. And soon, disciples are being made, just as Jesus requested when he left, just in the mission that he left us with here on earth and completing his work. When Jesus makes the invitation, he says, anyone, which means his true Talmud, his true followers, must realize that the people who respond to his invitation are going to have a past that we may not approve of, but we accept them anyway. Or maybe even we're embarrassed to hear about it, but we're going to listen anyway. Amen? Fans do not know how to handle, quote, new people like that. They prefer not to know. They prefer things to be shallow. They prefer things to be comfortable. But followers are very willing to go deeper. They're very willing to listen. They're willing to hear stories of brokenness, hear stories of sin, and still welcome these people with the open, loving arms of God. And now this last point, beloved, is crucial to make sure that all of us begin kind of that growth from fan to follower, new, longtime believers both. We need to move into that completely committed relationship with Jesus. When Jesus makes his invitation, he welcomes anyone who will come after him. But he also makes it clear that when that person or when we choose to accept that invitation, when we choose to follow him, we're giving up everything else. We're giving up everything else. So it's kind of this interesting anyone, yes, but it's also everything, right? And the way I like to kind of put it up here is it's plus anyone, he'll include anyone, but it's also minus everything else. Because you're not going to put anything above this teacher, are you? You're going to follow him and just him completely. When a Talmud was accepted into a rabbi's school, they'd leave their home, they'd leave their family, they'd leave their job, whatever was holding them back, and they would go and play follow the rabbi. Literally, they would leave everything and they would follow their teacher. They would become a devoted disciple of that teacher. So if the rabbi decided to go to the market, his students would be there at the market. If the rabbi decided to go to another town, his students would follow him to the other town. If the rabbi needed to visit some sick in the area, the students would be there visiting the sick, the family of the sick. They'd be there with him, learning as they went. Now, to follow the rabbi named Jesus, it would cost just a little bit more. Because if this rabbi decided to live without a home, his students would follow, right? And in Matthew 8 and Luke 9, he says just that. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Which means his followers have no place to lay their head. If this rabbi Jesus decided to go among the sinners and among the unclean, his students would follow. In Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5, "I've not come to call the righteous,
but sinners to repentance. And if Jesus, the rabbi, decided not to flee persecution, his students would follow. John chapter 15. Remember these words I spoke to you, Jesus says. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. However, if they obey my teaching, they will also obey yours, right? Totally committed to their master. And that's what Jesus invites us to, beloved. The greatest teacher who ever lived invites anyone, invites everyone, and we're all included, to become one of his students. And when he says anyone, he means everyone, with no qualifications, no excuses. But even though he makes his invitation to anyone, he also guarantees that it will cost us what? Everything. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because you're going to need to let go of everything to truly grasp Jesus, to truly grasp whole of God. So with all this truth in mind, are we ready? Are we ready to fully grasp? Are we ready for that full commitment? Are we ready to leave literally everything behind and commit fully to the path of following Jesus, to be a truly committed follower of this rabbi named Jesus Christ? I said we're going to end each one of these messages with a piece of video. The video follows the life of Eric Nelson. He's a fan who's on the life journey of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. He's just had a heart attack, and actually we find out it's not his first. It's his second heart attack, and most of the story from here on is what happens to move Eric from fan to follower. We have plenty of flashbacks watching what happens in between these heart attacks. Kyle Eidelman is the Nelson's family pastor. He's also our narrator and he's our teacher in these videos.
The crowds begin to thin out. The fans start to go home. See, fans admire Jesus, but followers are devoted to him. They're willing to sacrifice for him. And here's a question to ask yourself. Has following Jesus cost me anything? Has it cost me a promotion? Has it cost me popularity? You really don't know if you are devoted to something or someone until sacrifice is required. And so fans admire, but followers are devoted.
Or what about this question? Is your relationship with Jesus moving from casual to committed? You know, really, that question is answered when the relationship is tested. If I perform a wedding, the bride and groom will repeat their vows of commitment after me. They'll say, for better or worse, richer or poor, in sickness and in health. But you know, really, those are just words until they're tested. And worse becomes infertility. Poor becomes foreclosure. Sickness becomes a wheelchair. And when it's tested, then you know if it's committed. So from time to time, Jesus would test a relationship to see if it really was committed. There's an example of this. It's in John chapter 6. We read that great crowds were following Jesus. And it tells us why. It says they were following Jesus because of the miracles. They wanted to see the show. In fact, a few verses earlier in John 6, it says that Jesus took a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish and he fed a crowd of thousands. They wanted the miracles with the free food, but some time passes by, they get hungry again, and Jesus isn't offering free food. Instead, he just offers himself. And for the crowd, that wasn't enough. So the chapter ends this way. It says, from that point on, many who were with Jesus turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus didn't chase after them. He didn't try to talk them out of it. He let them go home. because really, he wasn't interested in a lot of casual fans. He wanted committed followers. I was looking for the room of Eric Nelson. Here's another question. Are there certain areas of your life labeled off limits, or does Jesus have all access? A fan will have certain doors of their life that Jesus isn't allowed into, and so they may say, Jesus, I give you the key to my heart, but in reality, they have some doors that key won't open, and maybe the key you give him won't open the door labeled money, or the door labeled relationships, or success, or work. Those are areas that you've decided are off limits. And so we say, Jesus, I give you my life, but there's kind of this exception clause. I mean, there are certain things that aren't included. Jesus, make yourself at home, but stay out of the bedroom. You can come to work, but there's certain meetings you don't get to attend. There's some nights I'm going to go out with my friends, and you don't get to come along. And so we try to define the relationship on our terms. And yet Jesus made it clear that if we are to follow him, it requires a complete commitment. In fact, the very first sermon he ever preached, called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about all kinds of areas that you and I tend to label as off limits. I mean, he talked about lust and sex, marriage and divorce. He talked about money and stress, even talked about politics, because he wanted to make it clear that a relationship with him, it's all inclusive, that a follower gives Jesus the master key. See, we say to Jesus, I don't mind you making some changes in my life, but Jesus wants to turn your life upside down. We say, I don't mind a little bit of touch-up work. Jesus wants complete renovation. We're thinking tune-up, he's thinking overhaul. We think a little decorating, why not? But Jesus wants a complete remodel. He will not settle for a relationship with you where he gets some small box of your life labeled religion. He won't settle for just a few seconds of your day before you fall asleep at night and whisper some prayers to him. He won't settle for just an hour a week on Sunday that you check off your list. No, Jesus wants you to love him the same way that he loves you, with all of your heart. I'm the pastor with the family here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Go on.
What are we doing in here? Anna's gonna kill me.
Now why? You were just a disorderly passenger. I'm the one who's gonna get nailed to the wall.
Oh, I'm gonna miss church tomorrow.
What? Anna and I have been going...
Oh, yeah, Anna. She wants to change you. But I know you better than that. Church ain't gonna change you. We went to church when we were kids and we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, Gary, exactly. We did the same thing when we were kids and now we're 42 years old.
And what's the matter with you?
I don't know. I've been getting these chest pains.
Eric Nelson, yeah. Wife Major Bell. You're free to go.
Well, if she doesn't kill you or turn you into some kind of religious nut, I'll see you later. Come on, Eric, lighten up. Look, I love Jesus just as much as the next guy, but just because I don't go to church...
The next guy's in a jail cell.
Yeah, Eric. Well, you are the next guy, so don't get all high and mighty with me.
Why do you have to insult my wife? Has it ever occurred to you that some people might actually take their beliefs seriously?
Yeah, Eric. Well, people like your dad...
Mrs. Nelson, I'm Dr. Campbell. We spoke earlier in the ER.
Yes, I remember. How is he?
It appears that Mr. Nelson's heart attack is catastrophic.
They warned us it could happen again. He had his first heart attack 5 years ago.
She wants a divorce. What happened?
I don't know. I woke up to go to work this morning. The kids were gone, and I found that.
It's all right, Eric. Just calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. It's not all right.
Eric, listen to me. I've been...
Eric. Breathe.
Eric. All right. What's going on?
I can't breathe. Oh, God, not
all right.
Now. Please.
All right. Hold on. It's all right.
Mr. Nelson, we've confirmed that you've had a very serious heart attack. We still need a few more tests to be sure, but the results from the electrocardiogram indicate to me that the cause of your attack was hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. The important thing to know is that this could very well happen again. I'd like to discuss a surgery, but I can't stress enough the importance of lifestyle changes. But we'll talk more after the tests are conclusive and after you've had a chance to rest.
Thank you, Doctor. Look, Eric, advice is cheap, but Anna is stressing you out. You talk about lifestyle change, start there.
What if I had died, Gary?
You didn't.
I will one day. What would I have left behind? What if God's trying to tell me something?
Like what? Get more exercise?
I gotta stop doing this.
That's what you always say.
I need you to leave.